You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's February 27th, 2025, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in just 15 minutes. Thank you for tuning into the show this morning. Sit back and relax with your morning coffee, and let's start the day out right. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the latest Marvel film, Captain America: Brave New World. But first, let's check out the latest gaming news. And recently, Microsoft announced that they had been developing an AI model known as Muse, which they said would aid in game development by generating visuals and controller actions. And now VGC is reporting that in a new interview, it seems like Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is pushing full steam ahead with the technology and its use in Xbox games, saying, quote, "It's just very cool. One thing that we wanted to go after was using gameplay data. Can you actually generate games that are both consistent and then have the ability to generate the diversity of what that game represents and then are persistent to user mods? So that's what this is," end quote. What the heck does that even mean? I'm not very sure. He then went on to say, "We're going to have a catalog of games soon that we will start using these models to generate and then start playing them," end quote. Listen, AI, it's going to be used in games. They've burned way too much money on this technology not to try and shoehorn it into as much as they possibly can. And in my mind, I feel like there are probably some ways in which you could use AI at some point to do things like bug testing or other things that, you know, get in the way of the creative process. But the idea of using generative AI to actually create assets, you know, textures or sounds, dialogue, models, whatever, that just sounds like a really bad idea. First of all, pretty much everything I've ever seen created by AI sucks. Writing sucks. Art sucks. Video sucks. Music sucks. It's all crap. I have zero faith that it'll be able to create anything as good as what a human could do. Second, this will lead to layoffs, which will lead to more people leaving the industry and undoubtedly more people not wanting to work for Xbox when they know that Muse could eventually just take over their job. I trust the game developers, and I trust the teams that want to make great games, but everybody answers to somebody. And when the decision to use AI goes all the way to the top, you know the number one priority is going to be profits. And that will only be bad for those developers. So the MCU is in a really interesting place right now. After putting a bow on their first decade or so of films with the hugely popular Avengers Endgame, they transitioned into what they call the multiverse saga. And honestly, they've struggled to find a clear vision for the universe moving forward. There have definitely been some high points like Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Loki, and the Fox transplant, Deadpool and Wolverine. But there have also been some pretty noticeable misses like Secret Invasion and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which seemed to unceremoniously end the whole messy Kang business. And there's just been a general sense that there's no grand plan laid out like we saw with Thanos and the Infinity Stones from the beginning. So after only releasing one film last year, which is Deadpool and Wolverine, and taking a little break to reassess their plans, Marvel is hoping to rev the engine back up in 2025, and they kicked things off with Captain America: Brave New World. Now, my biggest hope was that this movie would give the MCU a little bit more focus and identity and get the quality back on track of where it should be. But is that even possible with a film that is part, you know, franchise reboot, part follow-up to The Falcon and Winter Soldier, Disney Plus series, part Incredible Hulk sequel, and it even ties into The Eternals? I'm not very sure that they could pull that off. So this movie is the first with Sam Wilson taking full control of the role of Captain America. He seems to be working independently, but also in coordination with the military. And after General Thunderbolt Ross is elected president, he tries to bring Sam back into the fold to work more directly with the U.S. government. Sam is understandably, though, reluctant after they clashed over the Sokovia Accords back in Captain America: Civil War. So after an attempt is made on Ross's life, Sam gets pulled into uncovering who's behind it, and he begins to unravel a conspiracy that goes in some interesting directions. As far as the broad strokes of the story go, I think it's pretty good. The idea of Sam struggling to step out from the shadow of Steve Rogers is a good one. That's interesting. Even if they don't really go far enough with it, I think they really could have taken it further. And the movie is clearly taking inspiration from The Winter Soldier, wanting to combine more grounded action with political thriller sensibilities. But, you know, some of it works, and sadly, quite a bit of it kind of doesn't. I'll start with what I do think this movie has going for it. First of all, I think that most of the cast do a really good job in their roles. Anthony Mackie is as charismatic as ever. He's good when the movie calls for him to be serious in the more somber moments, and he's great at the one-liners. He's always been good at that. He's convincing as a leading man and an action star, and I think he does the character justice. He's a good Captain America. Like I said before, I think they could have gone a bit deeper with the character and the resistance that he's facing taking over as Cap. But as good, you know, he does good with what he's given, I'll say. The other standout is Carl Lumbee as Isaiah Bradley. He has a commanding screen presence, and he delivers the emotional weight of a black super soldier who was abused and imprisoned by the U.S. government, and the resentment he holds over that and the anger. He and Mackie also have great chemistry together, and their scenes together were some of the highlights of the film for me. They work really well together. Harrison Ford does a solid job stepping in for the late William Hurt as President Ross. You can tell maybe he's just kind of collecting some fat paychecks towards the end of his career, but he's also such a damn good actor that even a half-hearted effort from him stands tall in any movie. And Danny Ramirez is pretty good as the new Falcon to Mackie's Cap. He's pretty solid in this. Unfortunately, not every member of the cast is so lucky. Giancarlo Esposito is fantastic in his role. He's really good, but it's just completely underused. I don't know how you take probably your second best actor in the film next to Harrison Ford and just waste him on a character of little consequence. And I won't say anything about the character that they bring in later in the third act, but it just doesn't work. It's cheesy and it's honestly kind of dumb. They could have done that well. They didn't. The biggest miss, though, for me is definitely Shira Haas, who plays President Ross's head of security. She has a pretty prominent role in the film, but her character is just not interesting at all. Her delivery is flat, and her action sequences just lack any kind of punch. It's just not good. A big dud there. And speaking of not being fit for the role, I don't think I've seen any of director Julius Ona's previous films, but this movie just really seemed to suffer from a distinct vision. And at the end of the day, I think that falls on the director. You know, he's the captain of the ship. And whether it's James Gunn or Ryan Coogler, the Russo brothers, or Chloe Zhao, the MCU always benefits when they choose a director who has a distinct style and a distinct vision, and it comes across on the screen. And the filming of this movie just felt generic. Even the action scenes, which featured some really cool things that were happening, they just didn't have any style to them. And finally, I think the marketing really did this movie a disservice. Because let's be real, the Red Hulk should have been a big surprise towards the end of the film. But instead, after seeing so much of him in the trailers and so much of him in commercials for Top Golf, you know, it just didn't wow me like it should have. It's actually a really good action scene, but it's so predictable, and I'd seen so much of it already that it just wasn't exciting. You know, all that said, I think Captain America: Brave New World has a lot of good ideas and a lot of talented people. I just don't think it was put together in a super satisfying way. It definitely has its fun moments. There's some good Easter eggs and cameos, and it's not bad by any stretch. It just had the potential to be a lot more. I've always been an MCU defender. I find even its worst movies entertaining and fun. And I did find this movie entertaining also. But, you know, when we're looking at the entirety of this franchise, it absolutely falls probably into that Thor Dark World and Iron Man 2 level of quality. So I read about something kind of cool the other day. Now, hear me out. Video game matchmaking / deck builder app. I know you're thinking, how many times can we hear the same pitch over and over again? Seriously, though, this is a pretty cool idea. Ludocene, at least I think that's how you pronounce it, launched their Kickstarter campaign on the 18th. And like a dating app, it promises to match you with the games that you want to play. Because let's be real, there's nothing worse than having a few drinks and waking up with your controller in your hand next to Elden Ring. So the way it works is that all of the games in the app are represented as cards, and you can flip them over and check out the details about the game and where you can get it and all that. And you can click on them for trailers and stuff. So first you build a deck of your favorite games, games that you love. And then you choose from a list of experts on the app whose opinions that you trust to kind of align you with their tastes. They've got folks from Eurogamer and The New Yorker, GamesIndustry.biz, lots of people. And they're going to be adding more as they go. And then it uses your tastes plus the people that you like or follow or whatever to recommend games to you. And they've got lots of cool stuff planned, like cards that will filter results. So, you know, it can show you games that have just, you know, games that have won a BAFTA award, maybe, or games that are only available on PlayStation Plus or, you know, whatever. It has a lot of cool potential to be very useful, I think. They've got about 2 weeks left in the Kickstarter. So if you'd like to help support this app, go to Kickstarter, look for Ludocene. It's Ludocene. And I'll also post a link to it on Blue Sky today after the show. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I really appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, be well and happy gaming.